Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Nun Daled. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the top of Daf Nun Daled. In the margin, you will notice a nosei heading, a topic heading, which reads, Haim HaChoymesh is the fifth that we add Me'akev HaPidyoin Shelo yuchal le'echol haperos michutz l'choima oy eino me'akev. Is it a compulsory element in the redemption of the Meiser Sheni fruits? If it is viewed as a compulsory element, then if one attempts to redeem his fruits at the actual value of the fruits, transferring their sanctity onto cash without adding the additional fifth, then we will tell him he cannot eat the redeemed fruits outside the walls of Jerusalem. If you say it's not a compulsory element, then the redemption of the fruits onto money representing the actual value of the fruits will entitle you to eat those fruits outside the walls of Yerushalayim, and you're expected to add a fifth when you get into Yerushalayim and purchase the food with the money that carries upon it the sanctity. The Gemara, Ibayalaho, Chomesh Ma'akev or Eino Ma'akev, is the adding of the Chomesh, a binding factor, which would then prevent, if you don't add the fifth in the redemption, then you would not be able to eat the redeemed fruits outside the walls of Jerusalem, or is it not Me'akev? And now the analysis of the question. In terms of money, if, let us say, you're dealing with fruits that are worth four dollars, Dalid Bedalid Porik, do we say that the fruits worth that are worth $4 are redeemed by your setting aside $4, v'akinafshe moisiv chomesh, and akinafshe means and on its own you add the fifth. The fifth then is not part and parcel of the essential redemption. Alma chomesh lo ma'akev, according to this approach, that the essential, the basic redemption is $4 of fruits transferred onto $4 in cash. Or do we say arba b'chamisha parik v'chaymish makev, that when viewing fruits worth $4, you immediately have to set aside $5 in cash for the redemption to be effective? And in that case, we would say that the chaymish is part and parcel of the basic redemption, and hence, if you don't set aside the sufficient funds, then the lack of the additional fifth is a restraining factor vis-a-vis eating the fruits as redeemed fruits outside of Yerushalayim. Omar Ravina, Ta Shma. So Ravina suggests deriving a conclusion to this question from the following source. The source deals with with produce purchased from an ignoramus, from an amoretz. We call that demai, and there's a rabbinic expectation that one redeems after he tithes 10% of what he bought from the, what he acquired from the Amoretz, that 10% that's designated as the Meiser Sheni needs to be redeemed if he wants to eat those fruits outside Yerushalayim, so he'll have to redeem it and transfer their sanctity onto cash. Hademai ein loy chomesh v'ein loy bior. The demai, the reference to the 10% of the produce that you bought from the Am Horetz, and you tithed it. You tithe it, and as far as those fruits are concerned, if you're not going to bring the fruits themselves to Jerusalem, you would redeem them, but you don't need to add a fifth. And the Ein Lo Bior, this has to do with the need to get rid of your rid yourself of possession of tithes in the after the third and sixth years of the sabbatical cycle. We don't really need to focus on the issue of Bior for our current discussion. But Demai doesn't have that Bior requirement. Now we can infer, Ha Keren Yeshlo, but the need to redeem the Meiser Sheni produce onto the actual value that there is. There's a restriction on eating the fruits as long as you have not redeemed their principal value. My time all. Why is the principal value a restrictive factor? Keren dema'akev bedoraisa isa bedorabonan. The need for redeeming onto cash representing the principal value of the fruits in the case of produce that you know for sure has not been tithed, that's doraisa on a total level, the keren is a restrictive factor. Esau b'derabbanan. So when it comes to the rabbinic need for tithing, like is the case in Demai, that which you had purchased from the ignoramus, where there's a doubt whether or not he ever tithed. So we, the rabbis, require you to tithe it anyway. So the principal factor, the principal amount, is a binding factor, and therefore, let's just to repeat. Keren dema'ake b'deraisa, the principal value of the fruits, which is a restraining factor, a binding factor on a Torah level, Esau b'derabbanan, exists when it comes to things that are rabbinic, like the demai. Chaimesh delo ma'akev b'deraisa, the need to add a fifth, which on a Torah level redemption, namely produce that you know for sure had never been redeemed, and you had never been tithed, and you tithed it and are redeeming it now. The need for adding the fifth is not a binding factor on a Torah level, leisal b'drabbanan. Therefore, on a rabbinic level, like is the case in Demai, the rabbis didn't impose the need for adding a fifth. So, after all is said and done, the question was, is chaimesh ma'akev or not? The answer that we see through the case of Demai is that the addition of the fifth is not a binding factor. Don't confuse this with the idea that it's somehow unnecessary. No, it's necessary. It's required on a Torah level that the owner who redeems his produce, his Meiser Sheni produce, he has to add a fifth. But as far as if he didn't add the fifth and he wants to eat those fruits, those particular fruits that are redeemed outside Yerushalayim, he would be able to. We mentioned before, as far as a debt that he has to Meiser Sheni, that when he gets to Jerusalem and he has to buy food with the money that he used for redemption, so at that point he still has a debt of adding the fifth in purchasing the food in Jerusalem as per the requirements of Meiser Sheni. Lema Ketanoi. Now we have a long question ahead of us. Shall we say that this issue is a machlokes tanoim, the issue of the fifth that we speak of when redeeming the Meiser Sheni? What does the Tanaic source say? Nosan es hakeren velo nosan es hachemesh. If one redeemed the principal value, he set aside cash representing the principal value of the fruits, but not the additional fifth. Rabbi Lezer Omer Yochal. Rabbi Lezer says you can eat it. You can eat the fruits outside of Yerushalayim. They are considered redeemed. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Lo Yochal, and Rabbi Yeshua says you cannot yet eat them. Omer Rabbi. Rabbi is a later Tanaic figure, and he looks at these earlier Tanaim, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and he says as follows. Near and divrei Rabbi Lezer b'Shabbos, I would adopt Rabbi Lezer's approach when it comes to Shabbos. What do we mean? You have a person that right before Shabbos he redeemed his Meiser Sheni fruits, and he didn't add a fifth. Now, can he? What's this person to do on Shabbos with regard to his food? Can he eat that? So, because of Kavod Shabbos, will tell him you can eat it, and don't, you're not restrained from eating it just because of the lack of the fifth. And Rebbe goes on to say, "V'divrei Rebbe Yeshua b'chol," and I would adopt Rebbe Yeshua's approach during the weekday, namely that without adding the fifth, you cannot eat those redeemed fruits outside of Yerushalayim. Mida Omar Nirin Divrei Rebbe Eliezer b'Shabbos, from the fact that Rebbe says, I would accept Rebbe Eliezer with regard to Shabbos. In other words, the leniency of Rebbe Eliezer with regard to Shabbos. What about Rebbe Eliezer himself? That's Rebbe's take on the matter. But what about Rebbe Eliezer himself? Michlal de Pligi Afilu b'chol. It would then appear that Rebbe Eliezer himself argues on this matter even during weekdays, where he says you can eat it without adding the fifth. Mida Omar Nirin Divrei Rebbe Yeshua b'chol, from the fact that Rebbe is willing to accept Rebbe Yeshua during the weekdays, that there is a restriction. Michlal de Pligi Afilu b'Shabbos. It would then, as far as Rebbe Yeshua himself is concerned, he would disagree with Rezer, even with regard to Shabbos, that you cannot eat the fruit without the additional fifth. My lav beha svaro kamifligi. Is it not so then that the machlokes between the two, between Rebbe Yeshua and Rebbe Eliezer, is on this very matter? Rebbe Eliezer, who represented the opinion of leniency, would hold that the addition of the fifth is not a binding factor in the essential redemption. Rebbe Yeshua Savar Chaimesh Ma'akev, and Rebbe Yeshua holds that the addition of the fifth is a restraining binding factor. So at this point, we have concluded the question. Shall we say then that the issue of Chaimesh as being Ma'akev is a Machlokes Tanoim? Omar Rav Papa, no. Rav Papa rejects this analysis. He says, the Kulei Alma Chaimesh Lo Ma'akev. Everyone would agree that the Chaimesh addition is not a restraining factor. And Rashi just adds that everyone agrees that the Chaimesh is not Ma'akev, that would otherwise have resulted in someone eating it outside Yerushalayim to get lashed. No, everyone will agree if he redeemed it onto the basic principal value of the fruits, cash representing the basic value of the fruits, even without the addition of the fifth, he's not going to be in violation of the Torah that says, thou shalt not eat Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim, because you have now redeemed them. So what is their point of disagreement? V'hacha b'chayshin l'pshusa k'miflegi. The machlokes is, are we to concern ourselves, are we to worry about a person being negligent? What do we mean by that? Well, if we tell you that by redeeming the value of the fruits, the actual value of the fruits, onto cash representing that principal value, can we rely on the person to later add the fifth? Well, that's the question here of Chayshino Pshusa. We suspect, or should we concern ourselves with irresponsibility on part of the owner? More so, Chayshino Pshusa. Rabbi Yeshua, who spoke about not eating the fruits without the additional fifth, is because we are concerned, we're worried if we allow him to eat the fruits, he'll forget to add the fifth later on. More so far, Rebbe Eliezer says, "Lo chayshina lipshusa." We do not worry about that. We rely on people that they will add the fifth later. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a new marking, a volcano shape, which is featured on the side in our margins under the Nosei, the topic heading / Mivneh, the structural note. The diamond, this volcano shape or trapezoid, represents Shnei Shlovim, two stages, B'divrei Rabbi Yochanan, in understanding Rabbi Yochanan, Be'inyan Toisefes Chaimesh V'Pidyan Hegdish, Hayim Hu Ma'akev Olo. Up till now, we've been speaking about the adding of a fifth in the redemption of Maaser Sheni produce. There's another area in which we add a fifth, and that has to do with a person who had sanctified an item, dedicated it to the Beis HaMikdash, and for whatever reason he wants that item back, so he has the option of redeeming it onto something else, onto cash or something else, and the item that he had sanctified will then be released from its sanctity and he can use it. So there's the in that redemption, there's the requirement of adding a fifth as well. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, we continue now in the Gemara. Hakol Moedim, everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yeshua that we saw before, Hekdesh Shechilel, in the case of Hekdesh, that which was sanctified that you want to Shechilel redeem, Hayol the Gizboren Toivin Oisoi Bashuk, since the temple treasurer seeks out the required payment, even if you did not add the fifth upon your initial redemption, we're not worried that you'll forget to add the fifth later on, to pay the Beis HaMikdash the additional fifth later on. Why? There's a built-in mechanism, i.e., the temple treasurer, he collects the temple debts, so that you will add the fifth later on, even if you happen to have personally forgotten. So Rabbi Yochanan says everyone agrees that when it comes to Hekdesh redemption, that the addition of the fifth, the immediate addition of the fifth, is not a binding factor. The Gemara now asks, you'll notice we have a long question, but just to make this point clear, if something is not properly redeemed and it would therefore still be sanctified, your use of it for personal needs would be a sinful act, coming under the general category of Me'ilah. Me'ilah is the name of the sin whereby a person is penalized for deriving personal benefit from that which is sanctified. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you redeemed the item sanctified on its based on its principal value without adding the fifth, and then you use it subsequent to that redemption, you are okay. You're not in violation. You will not be in violation of Me'ilah. The Gemara now asks, the Hekdesh lo pliki, is that so that when it comes to Hekdesh, there is no machlokas, there is unanimous agreement? The Hotanya, we have the following source, Nosan es hakeren velo nosan es hachemesh. Person set aside the principal value, meaning he redeemed the based on the principal value onto cash representing that amount, but velo nosan lo es hachemesh, but he didn't add the fifth. Rabbi Lezer Omer Chileel. Rabbi Lezer says that's a successful redemption. Rabbi Chachamim Omerim Lo Chileel. He has not successfully redeemed it. Omer Rabbi, if with similar structure to we had before, in the sense of Rabbi, say, moderating the opinions that we just saw in the source, Rabbi says, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Lezer, I would accept Rabbi Lezer's approach, the lenient approach, that it's effective even without the addition of the fifth behektish, when it comes to items sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, in other words, the redemption of things sanctified. And V'divrei Chachamim, Rabbi says, I would accept the words of the Chachamim that it's an unsuccessful redemption, namely without the addition of the fifth, the Meiser, when it comes to redeeming produce that one tithed as his Meiser Sheni tithe. So now Rebbe comes to moderate the two opinions. But what about the two opinions on their own? Mida Omar Nirin Divrei Rebbe Eliezer Behekdesh, from the fact that Rebbe picks Rebbe Eliezer with regard to Hekdesh, that it's a successful redemption, Michlal de Polig Afilu B'Meiser. It must be that Rebbe Eliezer himself maintains his position of leniency even with regard to Meiser Sheni, that it's an efficient or a successful redemption. Rebbe himself doesn't go that far, but Rebbe Lezer himself does go that far, not only by Hekdesh but by Meiser also. Even without the addition of the fifth, it is a redemption. From the fact that Rebbe chose the Chachamim with regard to Meiser, that it's an unsuccessful redemption without the addition of the fifth, What about the chachamim themselves? Michlal de inhu pligi afilu begdish. Now, here we dashed underline. This is the key point. The result is that when it comes to a hekdish redemption, they, the chachamim, will say it's unsuccessful. Rebbe was accepting their approach with regard to Meiser, that it's unsuccessful, but their own approach extends even to cover Hekdesh, that it's unsuccessful without the addition of the fifth. How then can Rabbi Yochanan, at the where we have the first, our initial trapezoid, how can he say over there, everyone agrees, Hakol Moedim, that everyone is in agreement with it, when it comes to Hekdesh, that the fifth is not a binding factor? That's not true. Elo I itmar hochi itmar. Rather, if Rabbi Yochanan ever said anything, he said thusly: Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Moedim b'Shabbes behegdish shechileil. Let us say a person has sanctified some food before Shabbos, and right before Shabbos he redeemed the food that he sanctified, that he was makdish, and he did not add a fifth. So if you put these two factors together, sanctified food right before Shabbos, everyone will agree, namely even the Chachamim will agree, that it is a sufficient redemption. Why are we lenient in this case? Two reasons. One is you've got the Shabbos factor. People need to have food to enjoy their Shabbos experience. So that's a reason for accepting this kind of redemption, because otherwise he won't have food available for Shabbos. And the second reason we can afford to be lenient here is because the fifth will be paid because of the temple treasurers that seek out debts owed to the base Hamikdash. So there's no fear that the fifth won't be added. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new train of thought. We have a long question marking. The reason for that is that you'll see this series of triangles deal with different topics that all have in common the issue of the fifth. And we're going to then have questions regarding the ability to what constitutes an acceptable redemption with regard to that fifth payment. On the side, we have a nosei slash mivne heading. The triangle highlights noisim, shonim, different topics. If you scan the Gemara within the bounds of the long question, three topics arise: hekdish, truma, and meiser. And the double underline highlights the expression chumsho, the need for adding a fifth. Up till now, we've seen the idea of fifth in the context of redemption, but not in within the series of questions here. Two of the three do, in fact, deal with the matter of redemption. The case of Truma, we will see that we're not dealing with redemption. Truma is not something that lends itself to redemption, but there is a concept of adding a fifth when a person who is not allowed to eat it does eat from it. The note we have on the side continues reading: Ha'im dinei tashlum ha'chemesh doimim ledinim ha'miyuchodim letashlum ha'keren b'chol nosei. Do the laws or restrictions that apply to the principle apply equally to the chomesh that we add or not? The Gemara: Omar Rami bar Chama harei omru. They have said, the rabbis declared, hegdish enu mischalo ala karka. When you redeem something that you sanctified, you cannot remove the sanctity by redeeming the sanctified item onto real estate, onto ground. The Torah says, "V'nosan hakesef v'komlo." Now, I want to point out that this verse doesn't really appear in the Torah as a verse, but it's an idea that is surmised from psukim that exist. Rashi makes reference to that, and the Tosfos in Maseches Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof Ches Omer Aleph Dibur Hamasu VeNosan points out what we just said. So if some of you may be very diligent students of the Talmud and look up the verses, which is something that I would highly recommend for everyone to do as they go through learning Gemara, don't spend too much time trying to find this verse. You might discover that it simply doesn't exist. But the idea, nevertheless, does exist that the redemption in the course of redeeming sanctified items, it has to be onto cash and not onto ground. Chumsho ma'u shishchal al hakarka. What about the additional fifth that one has to add when redeeming that which was sanctified? Can he choose a piece of ground that equals a fifth of the item being redeemed? Can the chumash be redeemed onto ground? Truma eino mishtalemes elo min hachulin. When a zar, a non-kohen, eats truma in a shogeg fashion unwittingly, the Torah demands that he compensate the kohanim with chulin fruits. And that's the expression that eino mishtalemes, the need, the compensation one has to make for eating truma b'shogeg, is only from chulin. Chulin means, in this case, it means specifically chulin fruits. Fruits, namely, it represents an item that it itself, in theory, could have been truma. The Rachmon Omar, the Torah says, v'nosan lakein es hakodesh. And we learn from that, dover haroi liyos kodesh. You have to give the kohen something that itself could have become holy. Holy in the context of truma, holiness. And what can become holy in the context of truma? Produce, fruits. Chum sho ma'u shishtalem shelo min achulin. When one has to compensate for having wrongfully eaten truma, the halacha says you have to add, not pay only the principal value of the fruits that you ate, but you have to add a fifth. You have to pay the kohen a fifth more. Can that fifth be in terms of cash? Can it be in terms of clothing? Things that are obviously not things that they themselves cannot be truma. Truma is tithed only from produce, not from cash, and it's not from clothing. Can the fifth be paid in terms of cash or clothing? Another topic, Meiser Sheni, that we've spoken about quite a bit, or even today. Ein mischalo al ho'asimot. One cannot redeem the principal value of his Meiser Sheni produce on an unminted coin. An asimon is a metallic disc without an imprimatur on it. The Rachmon Amar, the Torah says, v'tzarta kesef biyodcha, the rabbis called over shiyesh olav tsura. The word tzarta is darshined, is explained in this context to mean anything that has a tsura, a form on it, something that's minted, excluding an asimon, a metallic disc. That would not be acceptable for redeeming the Meiser Sheni. Chumsho, mahu shizchal al ho asimon. Can the fifth that you add, that we spoke about earlier, can that be paid, can that be redeemed onto an asimon? It's galgal milsa umotu lekame derava. The matter, this discussion concerning fifths, literally rolled around until it reached Rava's doorstep. Omar lehu, Omar kra. Rava says, well, the pasuk says regarding fifths, all of. You find that word in the Torah, olav, Yosef olav, you add it upon it. The rabbis chumsho kemoso. In other words, you're adding the fifth upon it, upon the principle. So whatever characteristics the principle has, whatever restrictions are involved in regarding the principle, so too regarding the fifth. Omar Ravino af anan nami tanina. We have a Tanaic source that indicates thusly: Hagoinev Truma, one who stole Truma. Velo Achala, and he didn't eat it, so it goes back as it is to the owner. Mishalem Tashlume Kefel Demei Truma. He has to pay for having committed Geneva, an act of thievery, a stealthful act of thievery. He has to pay Kefel. Kefel is double. Now, the words here say Mishalem Tashlume Kefel. Besides giving back the principal fruits, because we said here you didn't need it, so you give back the fruits, but you have to add another, we say double. So you have the fruits plus their value. Now that double that you're paying can be in terms of cash. That's Mishalim Tashlume Kefel, the double payment, the extra payment, is Demei Truma. The value of the Truma you can pay in cash. So that the knas, that we call that the fine that you have to pay, in addition to giving back the actual fruits, the cash value, or say the additional value, it can be paid in terms of cash. Ochla, if the fruits, if someone ate b'shogeg, he stole the truma and he ate them. He ate the fruits. Mishalem Shnei Kronim V'Chomish. He has to pay two principals. What do we mean by two principals? For the act of theft, you have to, and here you don't have the fruits anymore, so you have to pay back the value, twice the value of the fruits. That's Shnei Kronim V'Chomish. Now, how exactly is the payment to be made? We mentioned before that in eating truma, when you compensate, when you pay back for the fruits you ate, you have to give back the fruits cash. So the breakdown of this payment of Shnei Kronim V'Chomish is as follows. Keren V'Chomish Minachulin. The principal value and the fifth. And here, for our discussion, we really want to focus on this fifth here. Principal plus a fifth, Min Hachulin, means from fruits themselves. From fruits that are chulin, means fruits that have been properly tithed. The hakeren, and the second amount, which we call the kefel, which is like saying the second principle, demei truma, that can be paid with cash. What do we see from this Tanaic source? We continue at the top of Omid Bey, Shmami Na, Chumshoi Kemoisoi. The chomesh payment is like the principle, and therefore, it's paid, in this case, paid in fruits and not in cash. Shma Mino. So this is conclusive. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side, in our margin, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, which reads, Tashlum Chomesh Al Chomesh. The need for adding a fifth to a fifth. What do we mean by that? Well, we'll see more about this in the Gemara. You'll notice we have a diamond marking, and on the side we've indicated under the Mivne Noisim different topics. So if you scan ahead, you'll notice we have the topic of Gezel, theft, the topic of Truma, the topic of Meiser, and Hektish. Besides Gezel, Truma, Meiser, and Hektish are topics we've just finished discussing, also in the context of a fifth. And now we'll talk about adding a fifth to a fifth. The Gemara. Oma Rova, Gabi Gezel Ksiv, regarding theft. The Torah says, V'chamishisov Yosef Olov. Now, what do we mean by Gezel? So, the Torah discusses a case of someone who stole, then denied having stolen, swore to that effect, a false oath, and then admitted. In a case like that, he has to bring a sacrifice called Asham Gezelois, and besides paying the principal, he also has to pay a fifth. What happens in a case where the person was sought out for paying the fifth, besides paying the principal, and let us say he paid the principal, and he claims that he also added the required fifth, swore to that effect, but was lying. He didn't add the fifth. So he will have to then add a fifth to the fifth, so that if, let us say, a person had stolen something worth $100, and in such a case, he would have to add, if he stole $100, some item worth $100, and swore that he did not, and then admitted that he lied, he'll have to pay, he'll add a fifth, so making it a debt of $125. Let us say he paid $100 but didn't pay the $25. So, and he swears that he did. Well, then he'll have to add a fifth. He'll have to take $25, divide it into four parts. That'll get you about 6 1/4, and he'll have to pay now another $6.25. And this can go on where he claims he paid the $6.25 and really didn't, and swears that he paid it, and turns out he's lying. Then you'll have to take a quarter of $6.25, and that's how much you'll have to pay additionally. The Gemara. So by Gezel, we saw that the Pasuk indicates the term Chamishis in a plural form. Utnan, and a Tanaic source reflects this, Nosan Loi Ez HaKeren V'Nishba Loi Ala Chomesh, a person who, let us say, as we said, he stole an item worth $100 and he paid $100, but he was expected to add another fifth to that, so he claims he did when he didn't. V'Nishba Lo, he swore on the Chomesh, and it turns out he was lying. Harei Zeh Moisiv Chomesh Al Chomesh, he'll have to add a fifth of that. Ad Shiyismoit HaKeren Pochos Mishova Pruta, until it gets to a point where that with the principal, which had originally been the fifth, but he's now denying it, turns out to be less than a where it comes out to less than a Shova Pruta, where the Keren is Pochos Mishova Pruta, where the principal amount that he is currently denying is an amount less than the minimum amount of currency. Gabi Truma, see, regarding someone who ate Truma unwittingly, it says in the Pasuk, Ish ki yoichal kodesh bishgogo v'yosaf chamishi soy olav. The Pasuk indicates he has to add a fifth. That would seem to be one fifth. So he would set aside fruits that equal the amount of truma that he originally ate, chulin fruits, and add a fifth. Now, let's say he, and by the way, but by setting that aside, they in turn become truma. He uses that to pay the truma, and the payment becomes truma. Let us say he then ate that fifth. He ate that additional amount that constituted the fifth. Does he add a fifth to that? So when you look at the Pasuk, it seems not so, because the Pasuk makes reference to one additional fifth. However, Utnan, we have the following source. Ha'echel truma b'shoigeg, mishalim keren v'choymesh. Person who ate truma in an unwitting fashion, a non-Kohen who ate it that way, he pays the principal and a fifth. Echad ha'echel v'echad ha'shoiseh, whether it be someone who eats truma or drinks truma. You can have someone who tithed wine as truma, but he drank it. V'echad ha'soch, v'echad Echad Asoch means one who smeared truma oil on him. Truma, I should say, smearing is like drinking, and Rashi elaborates a bit on that topic. Echad truma tahir, echad truma tamea, whether it be undefiled truma or defiled truma. Mishalem chumsha, and here's the main point of bringing this source in. It says v'chumsha de chumsha. That is, you would add a fifth to the fifth. That is, after setting aside the additional fifth to be paid to the Kohen, the non-Kohen then ate that fifth. So he has to add a fifth to that. So that even though the Pasuk doesn't reflect it, a Tanaic source indicates thusly. Ve'ilu gabi meiser, when it comes to meiser sheni, we spoke earlier about the need to redeem the meiser sheni produce if you want to eat those fruits outside Yerushalayim. You set aside a principal amount and a fifth. You add a fifth. So regarding meiser, lo michtav kosiv v'loi misnetone. You don't have a posuk that indicates multiple fifths, nor do you have a Tanaic source that indicates additional fifths. Velo ibayalon, and it's also not something that we're even going to ask about. Namely, do you add a fifth to the fifth? We take a look at the Rashi on this. Rashi, you'll see a little more than halfway down the Rashi commentary. Velo ibayalon im moisiv chaimish al chaimish im lo, whether or not you add a fifth. The pshita lon deloi moisiv. It's clear that you don't add a fifth. The lo ashkechon bei remez bekra, kedashon betruma, remez porta. We don't find a hint in a posuk, as opposed to truma, where there is a little bit of a hint. We didn't see that yet, but Rashi says kedabino lema kamon. We'll see later in the Gemara. The betruma ksiv yosaf chamishisoi, velo ksiv yosaf. The word v'yosaf serves as a hint that by truma there is a possibility of adding a fifth to a fifth. It doesn't appear just as yosaf ke de gabi meiser. The loshon v'yosaf, the vav added to that word yosaf. In the case of meiser, it just says yosaf. It says v'chamishiso yosef olov, without a vav preceding the word. But with the vav preceding the word, Mashma shtei toisofois Yosef v'chayzer v'yosef avol Yosef chado mashma. So by truma there is a hint to multiple chumshim, not so by meiser. Gabi hektish ksiv, when it comes to the redemption of hektish, it says v'im hamaktish yigales beisoy v'yosef chamishis kesef erkecha. Utnan hapoide es hegdesho moisiv chaimish. Chumsha tnan. You see in this Tanaic source that one who redeems hegdesh, he transfers the kedusha, the sanctity, onto money, and he adds a fifth. So that, or he transfers the kedusha onto something else, onto something that's mundane, and the item that he transfers the sanctity to on has to be worth a fifth more. Of chumsha the chumsha lo tnan, but adding a fifth to a fifth, we don't have any Tanaic source. My, so we want to know by hektish, what is the din? Gabi truma ksiv v'yosaf, gabi hektish nami ha ksiv v'yosaf. By truma, where we saw multiple chumshin. So you have the word v'yosaf, so maybe by kiddush you see also you have that word. Oh, dilma gabi truma ksiv v'yosaf, but or on the other hand by truma you have an additional factor. It has, you see the word v'yosaf, but you also have the word chamishiso. V'ikshak l'slei levov de v'yosaf. If you take the vov off that word, what we're describing now is something that is possible through through what we call oral tradition. We'll say in simplistic terms we're playing with words, but it's not a game. This is something that exists because there's an oral tradition to this effect. So in the case of truma, you would take the vav off the word v'yosaf, v'shodis le'al chamishiso, and add it to the end of the word chamishiso. Havelei, it would then read chamishisov. It's true, in the printed Gemara you see a yud and a vav at the end. That's as far as reading is concerned. But technically speaking, you would have two vavs at the end, chamishisov, which means plural. That's a plural expression that you have by truma. However, gabi hektish ksiv, by in the posuk regarding hektish, redemption of that which is sanctified, v'yosav chamishis. You just have the word chamishis in the Torah word, and in that case, what are you going to do? You're going to take the vav off the yosaf. Afal gav de chishaklis le levav de v'yosaf. even if you were to take the vav off the word v'yosaf, v'shadislei al chamishis, and add it to the end of the word chamishis, soif soif havilei chamishiso, it still comes out in a singular form. So there are two sides of analyzing the case of Hegdish. How do we deal with it? Do we parallel it to the Truma in the sense that in both Truma and Hegdish you have V'yosaf, and we saw before in Rashi that indicates multiple Chumshin. On the other hand, by Truma, you have not only V'yosaf, but you also have the possibility of taking the Vav from the word V'yosaf and adding it to the next word Chamishiso, making the word Chamishiso a plural form. That you do not have in the case of Hegdish. Now we have a bracketed section. If you skip the brackets initially, you find the words "my havi alo." The question remains till the end of the brackets. Now within the brackets, we have a starred note on the side, which reads "Besocha sograyim yesh atzah l'tshuva avlino felis." Within the brackets, there's a suggested answer to the question, but that question, that suggestion falls away. So we're left with the question by the end of the brackets. So now let's go into the brackets. The tepukle the havile hegdisheni. Why not derive that if you were to consider adding a fifth to the fifth? In other words, I had an original item that I sanctified. I then redeemed it onto something else worth a fifth more. And now I want to know, should the when I if I want to redeem that second item onto something else, do I add a fifth to the fifth? Yeah, but that would be hegdisheni. That would be, that's considered, we'll say, a second generation of that which was sanctified. The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, a hegdish rishay moisiv chaimish, al hegdisheni ain moisiv chaimish. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi teaches a principle that the addition of a fifth is only when you're redeeming that which was initially sanctified, not on a second generation item of sanctity, i.e. something that derived sanctity from something that had previously been sanctified. So right there you would have an answer to the question that we don't add a fifth to the fifth. Omar le Rav Papi the Ravina, Hachi Omar Rava, Chomesh Ketchilas Hegdish Domi. The Chomesh of the second item, in other words, we had an original item worth that you sanctified was worth $100, and I redeemed it, and I was required to redeem it onto something worth $125. That extra $25 worth of value on that item, we called before the second generation item. However, when you focus on that $25 addition, it is like an initial sanctity. And since the chomesh is viewed as an initial sanctity, it could be then that when you are, if you plan to redeem that second item, transfer its sanctity onto a third item, you would have to add a fifth to the fifth. So the question is, my havi'alo, what then is the din? What conclusion should we reach regarding adding a fifth to the fifth in Hegdish? The Gemara answers, it takes a few lines to develop the answer. You notice the long marking, Omar av tavyumi mishmei d'abaye, Omar kro, v'yosav chamishis kesef erkecha. That's the basic pasuk dealing with the redemption of Hegdish. Makish chumshoi lekesef erkoi. Makesef erkoi moisiv chaimesh. Just like the redemption of the initial item, you add a fifth. Af kesef chumshoi nami moisiv chaimesh. So too, when you are redeeming the additional fifth, you will add another fifth to the fifth. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating a new trend of thought. In this case, the Gemara opens up with Gufa, which means we're quoting from that which was just mentioned by the way, in order to focus on that point in our upcoming discussion. So I say it's a new trend of thought because it's not a continuation of the reasoning and discussion we had above, though we are picking up with the point that had just been mentioned. On the side, we have a Nosei Dino Shel Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. We're going to focus in on Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's teaching, Al Hekdesh Rishon Moisev Chaimesh Velo Al Hekdesh Sheni, that only when you're redeeming an item that originally had been sanctified will you add a fifth, and you do not add a fifth to a, what's called a second generation sanctified item. Gufa, now the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Al Hekdesh Rishon Moisev Chaimesh V'al Hekdesh Sheni Ein Moisev Chaimesh. When you are redeeming the original item sanctified, you add a fifth. But if for some reason you want to redeem the second item, you don't add a fifth. And in light of this discussion before, you won't add a fifth to the principal value of that second item. Omar Rava. My Taimo de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. What is the basis of his teaching? Omar Kro, V'im HaMakdish Yigal Es Beiso. And that pasuk deals with the redemption of that which was sanctified, and he has to add a fifth, and we derive from this, HaMakdish, you are redeeming that which was sanctified below HaMakpis. Not the item that was the basis of the redemption. In other words, you had item number one that you had sanctified. You transferred its sanctity onto item number two. That item number two is referred to here as Hamakpis. Rashi, in the wide lines under the Gemara, a little more than halfway down there, it says Hamakpis ze. Tachas Rishon Shasheni Nitpas Bekedusha Shalacher Velo Machmas Atzma Bolo. We're talking about the item that absorbed the Kedusha, absorbed the sanctity of something that had originally been sanctified, but this item is not the original item of sanctity. It's the source of the redemption. It's the derivative of the redemption. So the Pasuk speaks about adding a fifth to the Makdish, to the original item, not the Makbis, not to the derived item. Tani Tano Kame de Rebbe Lazar. An expert in Tanaic sources stated the following Tanaic source in the presence of Rebbe Lazar. It says, V'im bevehemo hatmeo ufado be'erkecha. This pasuk is in the context of items that were sanctified and the topic of redemption. To give a literal translation to the pasuk and etc. would be a disservice to those learning it, but we will continue in the Gemara trying to see what we are to derive from the pasuk. The pasuk describes a behema tamea, which means an unkosher variety animal, and we're dealing with the redemption of it. So we learn from this, ma behema tamea miuchedes. If let us say someone had sanctified a horse to the Beis Hamikdash, so just like behema tamea has this unique feature, shetchilasa hegdish v'kulav shemayim. That which is something that can initially become sanctified. Don't confuse the idea of sanctifying horses with the sacrifices offered on the altar. Of course, not. We don't offer unkosher variety animals. However, the Beis Hamikdash includes more than just sacrifices. The Beis Hamikdash was an entire organization that had a great amount of financial dealings beyond the restricted area of offering sacrifices. One other area is the maintenance of the building, the Bet HaKabayis. There's the need to replace holy vessels. There are other expenditures that the Beis HaMikdash had as well. So in sanctifying a horse to the Beis HaMikdash, the Gizbar, the treasurer, eventually would sell the horse and get its value, and that goes into the temple treasury. So there's significance in this idea of sanctifying a behemoth tamea. Now, the characteristics of such a sanctity is that it has an initial level of sanctity, namely, that's Tchilos HaHekdesh, you sanctified it. And Kula L'Shamayim means the owner doesn't get anything out of it, as opposed to, let us say, a sacrifice that he brings, where if you bring a Korban Shlomim, for example, you get the meat. When you sanctify an unkosher raya animal, it goes to the temple repair fund, it goes to the Benek HaBayis, and that's Kula L'Shamayim, it's totally heavenwards. And Molin Ba means if you the thinking right now is if you derive personal benefit from it after you sanctified it, you would be in violation of Me'ila. Rashi explains a little further, three lines from the bottom. Umolin Bo Hashta Kosalka Daito, the thinking right now, the Me'ila Mamish Komar, that we're speaking about the actual prohibition of Me'ila, of using it for your personal needs. Let us continue in the Gemara now. Af kol, so to everything, shetchilos hahegdesh v'kulo shamayim, so to anything that has these characteristics, that is an initial sanctity, and it's kulo shamayim, and it's something that the owner has no benefit from, mo'alin ba, the result would be mi'ila. Notice we have a long marking, namely Rebbe Lozer's response to the source that we just heard. Omar le Rebbe Lozer latana. Rebbe Lozer said to the Tana, the Tana was the one who stated the Tanaic source, Bishlamo, point number two, Kula l'shamayim, the description of Behema Temea, of the unkosher variety animal that had been sanctified as something that's kula l'shamayim, exclusively, we'll say, heavenwards, limute kodshim kalim, to the exclusion of light-level sanctified sacrifices, they would not be described as kula l'shamayim. An example of kodshim kalim includes a korban shlomim. Kevon de is lehu lebailim begavaihu, since the owner, the one who brings a korban shlomim or kochim kalim type sacrifice, the owner gets a portion of it after giving the kohen his respective sections of the animal. He, the owner, eats the rest of it. So since the owner has in it a portion, less behu mi'ila. The mi'ila sin does not apply, so that when, let us say, someone set aside an animal as a cow, as a korban shlomim, and then he uses the cow for his own purposes, he rides around on the back of the cow, he's not in violation of mi'ila. That is in contrast with something that we would describe as kula l'shamayim, something from which the owner has no personal benefit. Elo tchilas hegdish, describing the behemah tamea as tchilas hegdish, another one of the two aspects that characterize things that have within them the potential for mi'ila, as the source said, mo'alin ba. What is the point of tchilas hegdish? Limute mai, what is that coming to exclude? Tchilas hegdish hu de'is ba be mi'ila saif. Hegdish less be mi'ila? Could that be? No, that's impossible. You can't say that mi'ila is something found only in items that were originally our original sanctity, and not in items that are we call before second generation sanctity. That can't be. If you redeemed an item that you originally sanctified onto you transferred his sanctity onto something else, that something else, that second item, certainly has within it the punishment, the prohibition of using it for your personal benefit. So what do you mean when you say Tchilas Hegdish is that which is a characteristic of Mi'ilah? Dilma, here he Rebbe Lozer suggests, Dilma le'inyin Chomesh Ko'amris Uchir B'Yeshua Ben Levi. Maybe the point of Tchilas Hegdish has in it Mi'ilah is really a reference to the Chomesh in accordance with Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that said that Chomesh is added only to that which is originally sanctified. And here Rashi points out that in the source that was stated, you said Umo'a Limbo, that really means the addition of a fifth. So that the word Mi'ilah doesn't refer to what we were thinking till now, the sin of personal benefit. Not at all, but rather the word Mi'ilah is a code word for Chomesh, for adding a fifth. And we'll elaborate on that in a moment by looking at Rashi, just to complete the Gemara trend of thought. Rebbe Lozer says maybe what was meant by comparing other things to Behema Tamea, namely, just like Behema Tamea is Tchilas Hegdish and Mo'alin Ba, so too anything else that's Tchilas Hegdish, you would add a fifth, but not to second generation sanctities, i.e., items onto which original sanctity had been transferred. If you want to redeem that second generation item, you would not add a fifth. So this is what Rebbe Lozer said to the Tana who stated the source. Omale, so the Tana responded, in Hachi Koamino, that is what my intention was. Now we take a look at the Rashi who elaborates on this. It's a change of understanding where the word Mi'ilah comes to mean Chomesh. Second line from the bottom, Dilma Linyan Chomesh Kramis Hach Mi'ilah, the use of the word Mi'ilah in the source, Lav Mi'ilah Mamish Ka'omar, it's not a reference to the actual sin of deriving personal benefit, V'lo Benene Min HaHegdish, and not to not a reference to personally benefiting from that which was sanctified, Ela b'chomesh komar. Rather, we're talking about a fifth. U'bevoa luftois hegdish komar. And the source is talking about one who comes to redeem an item sanctified. V'kori l'chomesh mila, and the source uses the word mila as a reference to the addition of a fifth. Mishum b'me'ila nami shayech chomesh. We'll call it a borrowed idea, and that is because by the authentic Mi'ilah, the original prohibition of benefiting from Hektish, when you do and you have to compensate Hektish for your personal benefit, you add a fifth. So since we find Chomesh in the context of Mi'ilah, the word Chomesh can be referred to, or I should say Chomesh, a fifth could be referred to by that word, Mi'ilah. And the purpose of this source and its citation of Behema Tamea as being Tchilas Hegdish, and if you want to redeem it you would add a fifth, that's simply coming to exclude someone who is coming to redeem a second generation item, an item that had been the product of an initial redemption. When you want to redeem it, you don't add a fifth, as Rabbi Shulman Levi taught. We go back to the Gemara, but before we continue in the text, we glance at the side where we have the Nosei / Mivne heading, and a triangle appears, and also the note that this is a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give and take structure. The triangle with the point facing up represents Kushas, their questions. A dashed underline highlights Ravina. Kushios hamufnois l'Ravina. These represent questions that are directed to Ravina. You'll see throughout the course of the Gemara, he is the one to whom comments are addressed. The inverted triangle, Tshuvos, Shel Ravina, Ravina's responses. And the point of this Gemara is Lahasbir Ha Dikotoni. We're coming to explain that which was taught Behema Tamea Miuchedes Shetchilasa Hegdish. That a Behema Tamea has this unique feature in that it's Chilas Hegdish. Now the Gemara. Omale Rav Ashi L'Ravino. Behema Tamea B'Tchilas Hegdish Isa. We continue at the top of Daf Nun Hei. Be'emsa Hegdish Lesa. Are we to understand from this that Behema Tamea, an unkosher variety animal, can be the subject of an initial sanctification, but it cannot figure in the and it cannot figure as a second generation sanctified item? What do we mean by that? Well, this is what we've been referring to all along. An item that represents, or that would absorb, the redemption of an original sanctified item. Let's use examples. Someone had sanctified he had dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash his automobile. And his automobile was worth, let us say, $400. And he wants to use that car for his own purposes. So he'd have to redeem the car. What would he do? So he can find an item worth $500, because we're taught we add a fifth. And let us say there he found a horse that's worth $500. Could he not redeem the car and transfer its sanctity onto a horse? Certainly he could. So the term Tchilas Hegdish as a description of Behema Tamea would appear to be misleading, and this is what Rav Ashi is asking. Is Behema Tamea something that exists only as an initial Hegdish and not as a derivative Hegdish, a middle Hegdish? Amalei, so Ravina answers, Lefi She'ena B'Soif Hegdish. The term Tchilas Hegdish is not to the exclusion of something in the middle of the chain of sanctity. All it is here too is to exclude, all it is here to do is to exclude a final stage of Hegdish. A Behema Tamea won't be found as a last stage Hegdish. What do we mean by a last stage Hegdish? So after you redeem something onto something else, and that something else onto something else, that last product, that last item, would either be sacrificed on the altar or used as building material into the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. A Behema Tamea, for example, cannot be either one of those. It's not something you would offer on the altar, nor is it something that would be built into the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Tchilas Hegdish comes to exclude Behema Tamea from achieving the status of Sof Hegdish, a final stage of sanctity. Omar lei Rav Acha midifti l'Ravina be'emtza Hegdish mia isa. In the middle stage, you do, however, find a behema tamea. The loisif nami chaimish. When I want to redeem it, should I not have to add a fifth? Omar lei, so Ravina responds, Hare hu kesoif hegdish, ma soif hegdish eno moisif chaimesh, af emsa hegdish eno moisif chaimesh. Just like at a last stage of sanctity, you're not adding a fifth, so to a middle stage of sanctity, you're not going to be adding a fifth. Omar lei Rav Zutra Bray the Rav Mori the Ravina. My chosis de midames lei l'soif hegdish. Why do you compare emtsa hegdish, the middle stage, to the final stage? and conclude there's no addition of a fifth, Nidamye L'Tchilas Hekdesh. Why not compare the middle stage Hekdesh to the first stage of Hekdesh? And when you want to redeem something that was initially sanctified, you add a fifth. So when you want to redeem the middle stage, add a fifth. Omale, Ravina responds, Nistabro L'Soif Hekdesh Havli L'Dmuyei. It's more likely, more logical to compare a middle stage Hekdesh to a final stage Hekdesh. Shekein Nitfas Minitfas. I would be comparing something that was that received Hekdesh from an earlier sanctity, namely a middle Hekdesh, would be compared to something that was in the final stage of Hekdesh that was also Nitfas. So they have that in common, that neither one is an original sanctity. Adarabo, L'Tchilas Hekdesh Havile L'Dmuyei. To the contrary, compare the Emtsa Hekdesh to the first stage Hekdesh. Shekein Dover Shiesh Achrov Kedusha Mi Dover Shiesh Achrov Kedusha. I would be comparing things that have subsequent stages of Kedusha from the original Hekdesh, which has a subsequent stage of Hekdesh. In other words, the just like the Tchilas Hekdesh has a next stop, Emtsa Hekdesh also has a next stop. And in the case of Tchilas Hekdesh, we do add a fifth. So why is it that Emtsa Hekdesh, you're not adding a fifth when redeeming it? Answer, Kid'oma Rova. Based on what Rova says in another context, Ha'ola Ola Rishona, the hey in the word Ha'ola teaches me that the Pasuk there is dealing with the first Ola, the first burnt offering. Hachanami, so too in the Pasuk dealing with redemption and adding a fifth, it says Ha Temeya, Temeya Rishona, meaning first stage sanctity. When you're dealing with first stage sanctity, we add a fifth. But beyond that, no. Tanya Kavose, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And here we have a Tanaic source that supports Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And once again, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the one who authored the idea on Hekdesh Rishon. We add a fifth, and not on Hekdesh Sheni. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section. The note on the side indicates why we have brackets here. So let's read the note together, the starred note. Hasograim heim l'shem dilug. The purpose of these brackets are for an initial skipping. Kedei lohoivil miyad, to bring you immediately leketa, to the section, the Messiah Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that supports Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And if we do so, you'll see in the Gemara that first said Tanya Kavosi Rav Shmuel Levi, we have a Tanaic source supporting him, skipping the brackets. You see, Al Hektish Rishon Moisif Chaimish, Al Hektish Sheni Ein Moisif Chaimish. On that which was initially sanctified, when you want to redeem it, you add a fifth. On that which was a derived sanctity, and you want to redeem it, so you do not add a fifth. Now, that having been said, let's go over the bracketed section. Pora zu tachas pora shel hekdesh. A person had sanctified a cow, and he wants to transfer its sanctity onto a different cow. So he says, this cow instead of the sanctified cow. Talis zu tachas talis shel hekdesh. Or he has a garment that he initially sanctified, and he wants to replace it with another garment, and thereby redeem the initial talis that he sanctified. Hekdesho podui. So the hekdesh works. In other words, the hekdesh redemption works. Podui pidyon means redemption. The Rashi says, Hekdesho podui, afapi shelo shom domim ktsuvim. Even if you did not present an initial assessment, value assessment, the kaimulon hekdesh of emunah shelo shom pruta mechulu, we have a rule that says an item of Hekdesh that was sanctified that's worth 100, and you redeemed it onto something worth 1. So you had something that was worth $100 that you sanctified, and you decided to redeem the or transfer the sanctity onto an item worth 1 pruta, $1. Mechulal, it works. Veshori l'simine, and you can benefit from the original item. Umiyu yad hegdish al ho'elyoino. However, and this we're going to see in the source very shortly as it goes on, the hegdish has the upper hand. Shim domim halolu yiseirim al demeya hegdish kona hegdish. If the item onto which you redeemed the initial sanctity happens to be worth more than the original item that you sanctified, Hegdish keeps the second item, which is worth more. V'im Hegdish Yeser Aleim, if the original sanctified item happens to be worth more than the item onto which you transferred the sanctity, Yashlem Al Korcho, you have to compensate the Beis HaMikdash for the difference, for the balance. So the first comment made regarding the transfer of something sanctified onto something worth much less, the transferal works, but that's not the end of the story. We continue in the source. V'yad Hegdish al Hilyono. Hegdish has the upper hand. And we saw Rashi elaborate on that. Pora zu b'chomesh shloyim. Tachas pora shel Hegdish. A man had a cow, and he assessed the cow as worth 5 shloim. Shloim is a denomination of currency. And he says, this para that's worth 5 is to be in place of this other para, the para of Hegdish, the para of the cow that I initially sanctified. Talizu b'chomesh shloim, tachas talis shel Hegdish, Hegdesh shel podui. If he assesses a talis at 5 sela to represent the redemption of an initial item that was sanctified, the sanctification goes through, it works. Now Rashi adds Talizu shel chomesh shloim v'chulei hegdesho podui, the sanctification takes hold. The afalpi she'eno shoveh, even if the second item is not worth what he said, v'lo tema, and don't say the following. Since he made an assessment and it turns out to be not so, so what he said is not worth anything, rather the transfer of the sanctity, the redemption, does take place, but he has to make up the difference. So that the second example in this source is telling me an additional chiddush, that even though you said something that's not true, it's not accurate, that doesn't interfere with the actual transfer of the kedusha. As far as compensation is concerned, the need for compensating remains. And the final point of this source, which is what we highlighted earlier, al hektish rishon moisiv chaimish, al hektish sheni ein moisiv chaimish. On the initial item sanctified, and you want to redeem it, you add a fifth. But when you transfer its sanctity onto a second item and you want to redeem that second item, you do not add a fifth. That was what Rabbi Shua ben Levi had taught. He, being a first generation Amora, his position is strengthened by this Tanaic source. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.